God can perform miracles in desert places. Today on Daily in the Word, we will discover what happens when unlikely people in unlikely places encounter the presence of God.
Revival is an awakening to God. This is what revival is. It is a breaking out of obedience to God. It is an awakening to the righteousness of God. And we often have a theology about God, but we are not experiencing Him as we should. We are not acknowledging Him. We are not saying yes to the Lord as we should. We need personal revival.
Throughout His Word, God worked in the desert experiences of great Bible characters, and He allowed His Holy Spirit to bring refreshment and renewal at just the right time. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, Streams in the Desert, we will learn about unlikely people who saw God transform their deserts by His grace. These stories tell of the numerous works God does in desert places. God delights in miracles. If you long to see God transform your desert, then this series is for you. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Streams in the Desert.
When I was a young teenager, my folks came to me one day and they said, "You know, we think you need to go out to Colorado and work on the farm for the summer." And my grandparents and uncle and some other relatives there have farms in southwestern Colorado. And they just thought that would be good experience for me to get out there and learn what farm life was all about. So when they said Colorado, I thought of trees and hunting and fishing and canyons and hiking. And I said, "Yeah, that'll be great." Well, I got there, and as we began the first day, my granddad took me out to the farm, to the fields. We walked about a mile or two out and kind of came to the end of a road, and he had an object in his hand that I'd never seen before. It was foreign to me. And as we got out to the end of that road, he handed me that object, and he said, "Paul, this is a hoe, and this is a bean field. And I want you to start on this row, and I want you to walk up this row, and every time you see a weed, it doesn't matter if it's bindweed or Canadian thistle or any other type of weed, every time you see a weed, I want you to take this hoe and get that weed up by the roots, and I want you to do a real good job, and I want you to take care of the field." And I said, "Yes, sir, Granddad, I'll be glad to do that." I took the hoe, and I started down that row. Now, the field was almost 2,000 acres. And after about a week, and after mounting blister after blister on my hand, I don't think I'd really hoed up even an acre or two. And I was beginning to realize that hoeing might not be my lifelong ambition. Well, as I would hoe on the other side of the farm, I'd look and periodically I'd see a poof of smoke going up from something they called a tractor. And I wondered what was happening over there, but I was never able to get close enough to see because all I was going to do over here was hoe and hoe and hoe. And I'm going to tell you what, that was a long, long summer for me. Did I learn a little bit about work that summer? Well, a few years later, my folks came to me again and they said, "You know, we just really feel like you need to spend some time on the farm." And I said, "You know, I really don't think I need to do that." I said, "You know, I think maybe my character development's coming along just fine, and I can do without some hoeing this summer, and I've got a burden for my lost teenage friends here at home, and I'll just stay here at home." And they said, "No, you need to go back to Colorado and work on the farm." So I went back to Colorado. And this time it was a little bit different. I was older, and this time my uncle came to me on that first day, and he took me out to the shed, and inside the shed there was this monster John Deere 4440 tractor with an air-conditioned cab, an AM-FM stereo, cushy seat that bounced with all kinds of suspension. And he said to me, he said, "Paul, this is a tractor." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I want you to climb up in here with me." We went down that very same road to the end of the road. We set that tractor in about 18 or 20 different rows those discs would cover. And he drove me down, and we were doing 18 rows at a time. He came back down the other way and turned the tractor around and parked it there, turned it off, began to show me some things about how to drive that tractor, all the bells and whistles and everything. And he said, "Now," he said, "what I want you to do this summer is drive this tractor." And he said, "Do you think you can handle that?" I said, I think I can handle this, no problem. I mean, it was great. It was not just 1 acre a week. It was a few acres every few minutes. And I mean, we were going down those rows, taking care of those weeds. And man, it was great. Air conditioning, AM, FM stereo, and even Paul Harvey telling me the rest of the story every 30 minutes. It was fantastic. Boy, I tell you, along the way, I'd see my cousins out there with hoes, younger than me, and I'd kind of go, hey, how you guys doing, you know, as they were hoeing along. And what I want to talk to you about this morning is something that is as different as a hoe from a John Deere tractor. Now, you can turn this off, all right? You can watch your watch. It's 10 minutes to 12. If you want to start counting, we'll count together. And you cannot listen to this, and you can walk out of here in a few minutes and take your hoe with you. Or you can hear something in the next few minutes that could change your life. You could learn how to get a lot more done in God's power in the new year if you would listen to what I want to share with you in the next few minutes. You see, what I want to speak to you about this morning is the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. He wants to be a stream in your desert. He wants to inflow your life and infill your life with power and grace and wisdom and comfort, and sometimes with rebuke and chastening, with whatever you need spiritually. He wants to do that. If you are a born-again child of God, He wants to work in your heart this morning. Now, there are many ways the Holy Spirit is referred to in the Bible. Sometimes He's referred to as a wind. You don't see the Holy Spirit, but you feel the effect of the Holy Spirit. Why does a man have a desire to do these things? Because the Lord is working in his heart as a wind. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is referred to as an anointing oil. He is typed or shown forth in the Bible with oil, sometimes with fire, as on the day of Pentecost, cloven tongues of fire. And these were symbols of the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. And then sometimes in the Scripture, the Holy Spirit is referred to with the theme or the picture of water as a stream in the desert, water that would come forth into our lives. And basically, anyone here this morning that has ever had a time in their life when they confessed to the Lord that they were a sinner and they asked Jesus to be their Savior, at that moment, Jesus Christ came into your life by the inner working of the Holy Spirit of God. You were born again at that moment by the Spirit of God. You can't save yourself. This church can't save you. That baptistry water can't save you. But the Lord saves us through the inner working of His Holy Spirit. Now, if you've never had a time when you have prayed to accept Christ as your Savior, then I want you to listen very carefully. And at the end of this service, I'm going to give you the opportunity to make that decision, because that is the decision that really matters in life, receiving Christ as your Savior. But if you've made that decision, then the Holy Spirit lives within your life today. You may not be fully controlled by the Spirit of God. You may not understand everything. Some people think that's a spooky thing, the Holy Spirit and so forth. But it should be a real awareness that we live with every day. God is in me. God's Spirit dwells in my life. We want to get acquainted with the person of the Holy Spirit this year. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says this, "Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Paul had to ask some Christians that once. Maybe you need to be asked that today. Don't you know that God's Spirit lives in you? If you are a Christian today, God's Spirit lives in you. Now, you can neglect the Spirit and go hoe weeds, or you can yield to the Spirit and get some things done this year. The choice is up to you. That's why I put something in the introduction of your notes this morning that I want you to see here, if you would, please. Right before point number one, I want you to see a little phrase, and it's not that profound except for one word is the hinge here. It says, if we are allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts, there will be significant difference, and the key word is if. If we will yield to the Holy Spirit. If you come in here this morning saying, all right, let's make a deal, you know, like the old TV show, I'll give God this many minutes a week. If that's how you're going to work, then you will not understand or experience what I'm about to say. But if you will open your heart to the Lord and you'll allow the Spirit to flow through your heart, He will make you a better husband. He will make you a better wife. He will give you strength and encouragement. He will literally change your life. And I want to share with you, if you will allow the Holy Spirit to work and apply these truths, what are some things that will happen in your life very quickly. First of all, you will rejoice in your salvation. Why do I say this? First of all, because the fruit of the Spirit is joy. And when the Holy Spirit is working and free in your heart and life, there is joy that comes, and you will rejoice in the fact that you are saved. In fact, the book of Isaiah, the name Isaiah means Jehovah is salvation. And you see, John chapter 4 and verse 14, Jesus said this, "Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him is a well of water springing up into everlasting life." So God says this thing of salvation isn't just a little trickling of water that he gives you for a moment's time. It's not the sprinkling of external water that he's speaking about. It's an internal flow that comes from the Holy Spirit, and this is a cause for rejoicing, a bubbling over of the joy of God. Psalm 13 and verse 5 says, "I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart will rejoice in thy salvation." And then notice in your notes that verse in Titus chapter 3. It tells how someone can become a Christian. It says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and by the renewing of the Holy Ghost." You see, when someone is saved, it's because the Holy Spirit is doing the cleansing work, the saving work, the regening, if you will, the regeneration from the inside out. Let me ask you this question. Has there been a time in your life when you received this water of which I speak? Has there been a time when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or let's go a step further. Can you say that you have experienced in your heart the still small voice of the Holy Spirit speaking? He's given you love or joy or conviction, or he's told you to be kinder when you were being mean, or he's told you to give when you didn't want to give. And you say, "There have been times when I know the Lord has worked in my heart." This is the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And you can rejoice in the fact that you're saved. I love the song we heard a moment ago, "I Stand Redeemed." Folks, I don't want to get over the fact that I was a sinner on my way to a Christless hell, and that's what I deserve, by the way, and that Jesus Christ, God's Son, came and shed his blood on an old rugged cross for me. That's something to rejoice about. And when you have an understanding of that, you can rejoice in your salvation. But it's even further than that. Not only are you saved, but you can also rejoice in your security. In your security. You can know that once you are saved, God's Spirit doesn't just fill you up, but he keeps you. The devil can't have you. He can bother you, but he can't possess you. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, people today try to insure everything. They insure cars, boats, motorcycles. They insure everything. You know, we live in a world where people insure their legs, their taste buds, their throat, but they don't even think about eternity. What is going on here? And God says, when you accept me as your Savior, I'm going to be a fountain of life in you, and I'm going to be a seal over you. Turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. I want to show you, because some of you, maybe you're back in church today for the first time in a while. Hey, there's no guilt coming from this pulpit. I'm glad you're here. And I want to tell you, if you were saved, you didn't stop being saved if you weren't here. If you truly have been saved in the past, you may have maybe walked away from the Lord a little bit, but he never gives up on you. He seals you. Ephesians 1:13, "In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." Listen, "In whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Now, I didn't understand this. April the 5th, 1972, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I didn't know he did this for me. But now I understand that when I asked Jesus Christ into my heart, when I was born again by the Spirit, that day I was sealed by the Spirit. In other words, God put his ownership seal on me at that very moment. And that's something to rejoice about. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 1:22, "Who hath sealed us and hath given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." And so the Holy Spirit of God is not only the one who regenes us or helps us to be born again, but he also is the one who seals us at the moment of our salvation. And so if we will allow God's Spirit to work in our hearts, there will be more rejoicing in our lives. I love that phrase, stream in the desert. We live in a desert, folks, and I've found something out. You can grow almost anything here if you water it. And you will not grow an effective Christian life without the water of the Holy Spirit. You cannot have a vital spiritual life without the Holy Spirit. You will fail. you will hold less than 1 acre without the power of the Spirit of God working through your life. Acts 3:19 says it this way, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." You want refreshing in your life? Then it comes with a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will be refreshed in the first place by the comfort of the Holy Spirit of God. There's going to come some times in your life, friend, when there will be troubles and tensions. There will be trouble and tension. Say, what'd you hear at church yesterday? I heard there will be trouble and tension. And that's sometimes how people are. They have selective hearing. That's all they want to hear. But you know, in reality, we don't know what's happening with this economy. It's interesting to hear the pundits talk about it, you know? I think we're looking at some pretty serious situations in the world coming up. We're looking at the possibility of some difficult days. Some of you with relationship issues, you don't know exactly what happens or what will happen in the future. And there's going to be some days in this upcoming year where there will be trials and difficulties, and you'll be parched out and burned out, and you are going to need the refreshing ministry of the Holy Spirit of God to do for you what booze can't do, to do for you what your favorite rock song can't do, to do for you what a psychiatrist can't do. I'm talking to you today, not about the world's power. I'm talking to you today about the power of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. And He wants to refresh you. John 14:16, Jesus said, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth in you, and shall be with you." Did you see that word there, Comforter? Jesus says, "I'm going to send you a Comforter. I'm going to send you someone that when life looks like nothing but a mirage and you are disappointed and about ready to quit, I'm going to send my Comforter. He will refresh you in the times when you need refreshing the most." Thank God the Comforter has come. In fact, the Bible says in Romans 8:26, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." In other words, God says this, when you're trying to pray and you don't even know how to pray, your heart hurts so bad, the cancer is so bad, the teenager is who knows where, the bills are not going to get paid, and you don't even know what to say, God says, even then, I'm going to help you make utterings. I'm going to help you pray. I'm going to make intercession for you. Listen, you may not think you need the Holy Spirit right now. You just need to get a little more thirsty, perhaps. I'm here to tell you today, we need the refreshing stream of God's Spirit in our life. And when you get to that point of need, you'll find His refreshing is all you need. We'll be refreshed by the comfort of the Spirit. Secondly, we'll be refreshed by the guidance of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to guide you through the Word of God. John 14:26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Now, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is always to exalt Jesus Christ. It is to help us to understand the Word of God and to exalt Jesus Christ. Some churches today have such an overemphasis on the Holy Spirit that they're not exalting Christ. But Jesus said, when the Spirit comes, He's going to guide you into the truth. We believe in two doctrines here, many more than that, but two in particular regarding the inspiration of the Bible. We believe God's Word is inspired. It's a God-breathed book. And we believe, secondly, that the Holy Spirit will illuminate us to understand this book. He will be our teacher and our guide. And what I'm saying to you this morning is that in those difficult hours of life, God's Holy Spirit not only comforts us, but He will show us the scriptural meanings that we need at that very moment so that we will be able to go on with power and grace. That first summer I was working there on the farm in Colorado. I was out hoeing beans one day and I came in to switch hoes. I figured that was one way to get a break, and you can't hoe beans real well with a dull hoe, you know. You gotta have a new one now and then. So as I came in, I noticed from the shed of the farm a guy driving down the driveway, old cowboy, had on a black hat with holes all in it, had an old GMC pickup truck that was held together with baling wire. He jumped out of the truck, his boots were held together with baling wire. Holes all in his pants. He went over to my uncle. He starts talking to my uncle about some things. They were just talking for a few minutes. They shook hands. I found out later what they said. They made a deal that if I would go up to the mountains and work for the rancher repairing fence for 2 weeks, that the rancher would come down in the wintertime to my uncle's farm and repair fence there in the winter for him. Basically, I was slave traded. Listen, no one knows the trouble I've seen, folks. I mean, this was bad. I became their piece of property, and they sent me up to the mountains. And at first I thought, well, this would be a break from hoeing. But see, there again, I'd never built fences before. This is also very hard work, digging through the rock and putting post in there and pounding that down in. And we get up to the guy's house. His name was Sherm. We get up to Sherm's house, and it was all right. No electricity. No outhouse. There was an out, but no house. You just... And you know, my way of going up into the mountains, this guy lives 14,000 feet up. He still lives there in the San Juan Mountains. And my way of getting ready for all this is you go to a convenience store and you buy everything. You buy mattresses to lay down on and cozy sleeping bags. You get an ice chest. You fill it up. You get sunflower seeds and beef jerky and double bubble bubble gum and Gatorade. You don't spare the horses if you're going out. Man, you got to be ready. How many of you men understand what I'm talking about? Come on now. Yes, amen. We know how to rough it. This guy didn't stop at 7-Eleven on the way. Man, we just kept going. We get up there, and it didn't take me long that night. You know, he had a kerosene lamp, praise the Lord, but I looked around in there. There's no food. And the sun was about to set, and he goes, I got to go get some food for us. I'll be right back. He grabs his 30-30, throws it over his shoulders. I'm going to go get a deer, he says. I say, hey, sure. It's not hunting season. I love hunting, but you know, you're supposed to get like a license and tickets and tags and what area and all this stuff. He said, my granddad never did that, and I'm hungry. About an hour later, he came back in, had that deer over his shoulder. He cut off a portion of it, threw it in the frying pan. He did something I'd never seen done before. He took that frying pan after he had cooked up that venison, And there was that grease in the bottom of it, and he just drank that grease right down. He said, it's good. Come down his cheeks. Yeah. This is my employer. Well, I tell you, that next day, he puts me up on a stretch of fence, and we're stretching that wire and putting those posts in and stretching that wire. After a while, I got thirsty. I got real thirsty. I said, I'm thirsty. After a while, I saw a little pool of water down below that fence, and I decided I was going to go down to that little pond, and I was going to get me something to drink. I didn't care what Sherm said. Man, I tell you what, I started trotting down there, and right as I got to that pond, I was ready to just dive in and drink up that water. He said, stop! Don't drink the water! And I thought, now, am I going to let this guy be my health food expert? I am thirsty. But something said, you know what? Listen to the guy. He comes trotting down there. He goes, I'm going to tell you, there are so many little microcosms that live in here and so many little diseases you can get. And if you drink this water, you'll be sick. You'll be so sick. Don't drink this water. He said, there's no inflow into this little pond. There's no stream that comes through here. There's no spring under it. He said, this is just kind of a filthy stench pond. He said, look over there. About 40 yards away, there was a stream coming down. It's called Bear Creek. And I'm going to tell you what, it came from the snow-capped Colorado Rocky Mountains, and it flowed over those rocks. And by the time it got down to where we were, there's a little pool. We went over there, and I dove in there, and I just sucked that water up. Oh, it was cool, and it was refreshing. There was something distinct and flavorful and wonderful about it. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. If you and I stay out of church this year, if you and I stay out of the Word of God, if we do not allow the spring of the Spirit to replenish us and come and inflow our lives, we're going to have some stink pot Christians around here. Amen. You might look good on the outside, but there's a staling effect. There's a curdling effect that comes into someone's life that isn't having the fresh inflow of the Word of God, that isn't allowing the Word of God and the Spirit of God to refresh their life. I'm saying you'll yield to the Spirit. They'll be rejoicing in your salvation. They'll be refreshing in your life. And then finally this morning, there will be revival. I believe if we will say yes to God's Spirit as He speaks to us at invitation time, as He speaks to us at work tomorrow, there will be revival. Revival is an awakening to God. Isaiah 35 and verse 6 says that the waters will break out. And this is what revival is.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. As a companion to today's series, we are offering Dr. Chappell's newest book entitled Renew, 90 Days of Spiritual Refreshment. This beautiful, hardback 90-day devotional guide will encourage you to seek God's face and renew your heart in His Word. Each devotion includes a scripture passage and provides an encouraging truth regarding your walk with the Lord. It's yours when you make a donation to this broadcast ministry. You can order it by calling 1-800-201-7748 or by requesting a copy at dailyintheword.org. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.